NetFront Presence is brought to you by Closets by Design. Update your closet, garage, office, pantry, and more. Imagine your home totally organized. Call 1-800-BY-DESIGN. That's 1-800-BY-DESIGN.
Welcome to the NetFront Presence. I'm Jeff Gordon of the Post-Dispatch, joined by our beat reporter, Matthew DeFranks, and a tough week out at the Blues practice facility as coming off of a couple tough losses, there were repercussions. And Scott Perunovic moves along in a trade to the Islanders. And Brandon Saad's term with the Blues comes to an end. I guess, Matthew, neither of these moves are terribly surprising.
Yeah, the Perunovic one, you could kind of wonder about from afar, just seeing how often he was stretched late in his tenure in St. Louis, and wonder whether he needed a new team to be a part of. And the fact that the Blues were able to get something back in return is helpful. I mean, it's just a conditional fifth round pick, and they'll only get it if he plays in 20 games. But it's more than sending someone on waivers and losing an asset for nothing, especially an asset that was a 2018 second round pick. So that one, you know, the Blues looked at it, and, you know, Jim Montgomery talked with Doug Armstrong about it and said, hey, I don't see a spot for Scott Perunovic in the lineup here. So at that point, you know, Cam Fowler, Justin Faulk are running the power play. Even it seemed like Broberg and sometimes even Parayko had a shot over Perunovic in that area. Tyler Tucker had kind of solidified himself on the third pair, and so Perunovic didn't really feel like a guy that was going to be seen playing time in St. Louis very often or very soon. So that one you could kind of, you know, look at and see it, you know, potentially happening. And the Brandon Saad one's a little bit more of a surprise. You know, the fact that the Blues did out Tuesday, and then, you know, Wednesday after he cleared, after no team claimed him on his current contract, the Blues and Saad agreed to terminate his contract, leaving him to walk away from $5.425 million owed to him in the last year and a half of his deal, just to become a free agent when he clears waivers on Friday.
Yeah, and that is that. The latter part certainly surprising. You know, certainly Brandon could have played this out, taken his assignment to the A, collected his money, worked toward a different type of resolution after the season for sure. But you know, that means leaving your family, and that means going down to the minors. And it was the hammer that Doug had. I'm a bit surprised that the hammer got the result that it did for the Blues. Very fortunate in the sense of immediate cap relief, and particularly for next year as they start trying to continue this retooling. But quite a sacrifice for Saad to walk away from. I know to make. I mean, he's made a lot of money playing the game of hockey, but still, that's not a small amount of money.
No, I mean, he bought his freedom for $5.4 million. Like, that's the reality of it when you take a guy who, you know, he's 32 years old, and you're right, he has been in the league a long time. He has made a lot of money. Like, that's not any news. But the fact that, you know, these guys grind over in negotiations over, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars per year, and the fact that he's willing to walk away from a total of $5.4 million, that truly says something about, I guess, his partly his desire to be in the NHL, and partly how much money he's made beforehand. Like, the odds of him recouping this money are very low in my mind, right? For sure, he's not going to recoup it in the next year and a half. Like, let's say, you know, he signs a league minimum contract at $775, you know, prorated. We're a little over halfway through the season, so let's just say that he's going to be taking home $300,000 on that for the rest of the year. That still leaves him about $5.1 million short to make up. And even if you look at it and say, well, he could sign a 3-year contract worth $2 million a year, I don't think anyone's handing out that kind of term to someone like him right now. And so the odds of him recouping that money, they feel pretty low, and I don't know how close he's going to be able to get to getting that money back, but it's a kind of an unusual decision to make, especially now. Like you mentioned the family, and yes, obviously if he takes the assignment to Springfield's, like they're probably going to stay here in St. Louis. I'm not going to pretend to know the ins and outs of the Saad family, but when you go to a new NHL team, you're going to be living in a different city anyways. And I understand it's the NHL versus the AHL, but the $5.5 million or close to it, it's just, I should say, is still a hefty amount to walk away from.
Yeah, if I'm his agent, and you know how that conversation went. Like, we have to remember this. Yeah, these guys make a lot of money, but then this is the money they've got to make for their life, right? I mean, they can do other things when they're done playing hockey, but this is their profession, and this is their chance to put money away, and this is their chance to do what they want to do when they're done playing. And that is the biggest argument players can make for getting all that they can while they can, because then what about the rest of their lives? So nonetheless, he to say that he did the Blues a solid is an understatement. I don't know if that was his intent. I don't know that he felt like he owed the Blues anything, but what a gift this was to Doug Armstrong. It's not so much again about this year as next. This team's got to move on from some of these contracts, Matthew, and we've talked about that pretty much every episode of the Netfront. And this is a guy that voluntarily gives him a gift that is not insignificant.
Yeah, it's a huge help for the Blues. Number one, for Doug Armstrong with the cap relief, and number two, for Tom Stillman not having to pay $5.4 million. Like, that's real money that the Blues don't have to spend, especially in a year this year where attendance is down. I think you can look at the attendance figures and see that they haven't been selling out every game. This past homestand, the attendance figures, all in the 17,000 range. The capacity's 1,896, if we remember. So, I mean, if I look at, Vancouver, Dallas, Vegas, Calgary, Columbus, Anaheim, all of those, the past 7 games have not been sellouts. And, I'm sure we could look at going back even further and wondering, how their attendance stacks up in relation to previous years, but it's not where it has been, right? So that's money lost by the Blues. So this real money impacts them in a real life financial way. And then cap wise, Brandon Saad will still count against the overall cap just because he's been on the roster for 100 plus days, whatever we're at right now. But from here on out, he won't be on the cap. That $4.5 million prorated for the rest of the year won't be counted towards the Blues, and that helps them for a few reasons. Number one, I think we've talked about before, the fact that the Blues are using long-term injured reserve with Torey Krug, it allows them to go exceed the salary cap, and so right now they're spending above the $88 million limit because they're using LTIR, and because they to start the season, really they had Saad on paternity leave, they had Sundquist not playing, and they had to find a way to make all the numbers work because of that. And so they've been using LTIR the entire season. And when you're using LTIR and you are above the cap, any performance bonuses that you pay out that year will be added to the next year's salary cap. So that applies to Ryan Suter this year, where he's already earned about $1.1 million in performance bonuses. He's got another 600 grand due to him at 60 games, another 500 grand due if he plays 60 games and makes the playoffs. So there's still a little bit of money due to Suter, and if they can get below the cap enough to have all of that count towards this year, that's helpful, not having that carryover for next year. And then obviously in the summer, when you don't have $4.5 million with Saad, that's a big help. I think I was doing some math yesterday, and you add in the raises for Buchnevich, the raise for Neighbors, the expected raise for Joel Hofer. Looking at goalies in the past, of his caliber and age, they've been around $3 or $4 million a year. So you add in all those and the expected jump in the cap to maybe 94, maybe it's more to 95. The Blues are still going to be a little tight on the cap, and this not having 4.5 will help them have some flexibility. I mean, it's not saying that they'll always use it, but we saw the flexibility they had this summer, and they went out and did the offer sheets. Like, that's what cap flexibility gives you. It gives you options to do things.
Now, this would be a good time to talk about the buyout language and what can and can't be done. Not only just what might have happened with Saad had he held his ground and went to the A and wanted a different resolution, but also they've got guys that may come into play for next year as they try to clean up this payroll. He hates doing that, Doug Armstrong, but he did pay Kevin Hayes to go away, did eat money on that deal, found somebody to take at least some of his money. It seems like that could well be into an option for next year. And could that have been, explain what Saad could have done differently to collect more money?
Yeah, so Saad, I mean, if he played out the remainder of this year on his current deal, and then the Blues decided to buy him out in the summer, he would have got about $2.4 million of his 3.6 salary for next year. So it's a two-third buyout cost, and that's spread over 2 years. So for the Blues, the cap hit next year would have been about $2 million, and then 1.2 the following year, and they would have owed him about $2.4 million. So if he would have just accepted the assignment to the AHL for this season, got bought out in the summer, let's see, let's count the 1.8 from this year and the 2.4 that he would have got from a buyout. And that's $4.2 million, right? So that would have been the alternative if the Blues opted to go that route. But as we know, like, Doug Armstrong has never done that. He's never bought anyone out. And even with the Hayes one, like, that's why he paid a second round pick for Pittsburgh, because he didn't have to retain any salary. So, like, he has been, reticent to eat money unless it's on a rental basis, as we saw with Tarasenko or O'Reilly, in those deals where they were able to retain salary and maybe get an extra asset in return. But yeah, the buyouts are, I think the buyouts make sense for a team when they need that money to do something, and less so when they need that roster spot. Like, when you need a roster spot, you can try your best with waivers. That'll give you a little bit of cap relief. 1.15 million can be buried in the AHL, so you get a little bit there. But you put some fear into a player, B, you clear a roster spot, and C, you don't have consequences from a buyout that reach beyond the contract term. So there are different avenues for teams to dump guys, and this is honestly a big argument for Doug Armstrong not having a no move clause on Brandon Saad. He does have a no trade clause, but the Blues just got out of this contract that had a inflated cap hit and a no trade clause by waiving him, by seeing him clear, and then agreeing to mutually terminate, which is not a common thing. But it is a way that the Blues just got out of a contract that was had a no trade clause and a cap hit no one wanted.
Imagine your home totally organized. Closets by Design is offering 40% off plus an additional 15% and free installation. Schedule your free consultation today. Call 1-800-BY-DESIGN for details. That's 1-800-BY-DESIGN.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough day to say you're celebrating that if you're in the front office, because Saad's is a good guy, and you like the guy, you like the individual. What We know that on paper, you know, with Brandon, he only had goals in three games and scored in bunches, seven goals spread over three games. What happened to him? I mean, it's one thing to be streaky, but it's another thing to be moved up and down the lineup and in and out of the lineup and with his accomplishments versus what his expectations were. What do you think went wrong with Brandon?
Yeah, I think it has to do with him not doing a lot other than scoring, right? He does score pretty consistently throughout his career, and like he's been a 20 goal scorer seven times. Like that's not nothing, you know. That's a guy going out there and consistently finding ways to score, getting in scoring areas. But the fact that when the goals do dry up as they have this year, and I don't really think he was all too snake bitten. I mean, sure, you're a little bit snake bitten when you only score in three out of 40 something games. But that wasn't his main issue. And I think of the fact that he wasn't going out there and he wasn't, you know, being a pest on the forecheck. He wasn't, you know, being a tough guy to play against. He wasn't being in scoring areas enough. And he wasn't doing enough things away from the puck when he wasn't scoring goals to warrant a spot in the lineup. I mean, that's why we saw him be a healthy scratch five times and why we've seen him go on waivers. So I also think that was probably something that other teams considered as well. When you look at the cost that he had on his contract that now will be terminated and his production, the fact that he hasn't shown a lot away from scoring goals, I'm sure that scared some teams away from making some sort of claim on him.
I think going forward, it'll be interesting to see what Alexander Steen does signing guys, because clearly Doug has been burned on, you know, you got, and he may well end up getting burned on Pavel Buchnevich. That's a topic that we'll probably have to explore in more detail later. But you got these contracts, and you got guys into their 30s, and some of these guys have performed pretty well. Others have faded some, and some fell off a cliff like Saad. And I think going forward, it'll be interesting to see, as this team gets a younger nucleus, then what does it do with the younger nucleus? Because this is the downside of adding a guy who's a pretty good player, who was a pretty good player for you, but it came at cost of term and dollar, and it didn't work out. And so other guys, can you see, looking at the group, I mean, we don't know Torrey Krug's future. You got a couple of guys who are extra guys on your roster in and out of the lineup who have another year on their contract. You don't know what's going on with Nick Leddy in terms of his long-term picture now that he's missed most of this season. Still a lot of issues with older guys with term left.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously we know, you know, with Justin Falk, he's got two more years left at 6.5, and he's had a rough year production wise and just making plays out of his own. And I don't think he would say that he's had a good year this year. Krug, as you mentioned, we don't know the status of him. He's going to miss the entire year with ankle surgery. He has been around a little bit more, just being around the team. I mean, he went to Ridley Field for the Winter Classic. He's been around the room during practice. I believe he was on the ice for a morning skate one day, just hanging with the guys. So he has been around, and but we don't know his playing future, right? Fowler has one more year at $4 million. Leddy, we don't know his future even in the next month, let alone next year. He's got one more year at $4 million. So they have a lot of question marks, I would say, on, you know, some of the older guys that you mentioned. And those guys only have a year or two more on their contract, so it's not as big of a situation as it could be with Pavel Buchnevich, who hasn't even started his extension that starts next year. So, yeah, they have some decisions to make. And even when you look at Matthew Joseph, who has one more year on his contract, he's making $2.95 million. You don't really want a 13th forward making $3 million. And that's probably why the Blues ended up getting an asset for taking on Matthew Joseph. I mean, they got, was it a third-round pick from Ottawa to take on Matthew Joseph? And that was a pick they actually ended up using I think sending, can't remember which trade it was, but it was either to Edmonton to not match the offer sheets or to Pittsburgh in order to get back their previous pick. But they ended up using that pick at some point over the summer. I just forget which transaction. And so the fact that they have him at $3 million being a guy that's in and out of the lineup, they have Texier for one more year at $2.1 million. Like, he's a guy Doug Armstrong made very clear that he wants to see in the lineup a lot more moving forward. And he's got questions, I guess. I mean, the Blues have taken some swings on some guys. When you think about, you know, Verana or Hayes, kind of those buy low guys that, you know, they had the team before was willing to get rid of them at a much reduced cost. So the Blues were taking them on and they didn't work out. And so we've seen Doug Armstrong see things that aren't working out and decide that they're not working out and move on. Like, he had to pay a price to get rid of Kevin Hayes. Verano was waived, you know, to a much, much lesser degree, you know, Kasperi Kapanen, and he was only re-signed for 1 year, $1 million. So he was signed as kind of a fourth line spare guy. So not as big of a deal, but the fact that, you know, they saw that he wasn't working this season and they needed a roster spot. And so they cut with him. You know, Doug Armstrong has been, his history shown that he's made those decisions to move on from guys and not really have to eat too much crow, other than maybe the second round pick they sent to Pittsburgh for them to take on Kevin Hayes. So we'll see what happens. You know, I think we can't really ever rule anything out with Doug and the way that he operates, but it's clear that he wanted to make some changes and they made some changes.
Yeah, the to me, the what happened to Saad is less about trying to get Alexander some more ice time, which will be one outcome, but also to send a message. I mean, this is a bad outcome for Brandon Saad. This one, the other guys on the team are going to look at this and think, man, this guy just got stung. You know, he chose family over income for the time being, and like I say, freedom over short-term income. This is a huge hit to a guy that everybody liked. Sends a message to the group.
Yeah, I mean, he's a veteran guy. I mean, I'm sure a lot of the other veteran guys who maybe haven't lived up to their contract cap hit are seeing and thinking, well, maybe it's not me right now, but you know, next year, if I'm still in the same situation and there's a year fewer left on my contract, am I going to have to make a decision like that? And you know, these guys, they might not say everything, but they do understand, you know, that no one wants to give up $5.4 million. Like, that's just like that's, you know, that's a career for some guys, if we're being quite honest.
Right.
You know, like, even if I look at a guy like Nathan Walker,
yeah, right,
who's playing on elite minimum every single year of his career. And all of that hasn't always been on a one way. It hasn't always been in the NHL. Like, this is not a guy who's made maybe, you know, $5.4 million. If I do the math right here, I think, or maybe he's made around like $7 million or something ish, just rough math. So that's still, you know, 5.4 is a lot into seven right there. And the fact that all these guys can see what happened to him, I think that's got to grab their attention at least.
All right, last thing on the net front for this week. The Blues are pretty much done. You know, you've written, you know, as this team has continued to sink, you know, points percentage, and you look at the standings and you look at the, you know, what's ahead, you look at the games on the horizon, it would take a lot of things to happen, bad things to other teams, really, to have for this team to really have any sort of hope to be in the race and after the Four Nations face-off. So in your mind, the rest of the year, what do you see the franchise, what should and what will it be playing for?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't really know. That's you kind of stumped me there. I think, just laying it out for some people, they have 50 points right now. In order to get to 95 in the last 31 games, they need to go 22-8-1 or something like that. And so that's a 119 point pace across 82 games. And this is a team, the only team in the league that has not won three straight games. And even if some teams falter, and let's say we're looking at a 90 point Western Conference eighth seed, which is honestly remarkable. We've seen it a few times in the Eastern Conference when they have some really noticeable, visible splits between the top eight and the bottom eight. But 90 points, even that would leave the Blues having to go basically 20-10-1, right? So you just still have to maybe in 20-11. Yeah. So you still have to win just about two out of every three games. And that's just to get to 90 points if the Western Conference ends up at a place like that where teams are falling out and having struggles down the stretch. So they have to do a lot. They don't have a margin for error, really. And we haven't seen this team go on that sort of run at all this year. So as far as what they have to play for, I mean, I guess it comes to a point where you figure out more what you have and what kind of value some guys would have, either with your own franchise or with another franchise. You, I guess, try to integrate Jimmy Snuggerud when his season ends. You try to see what guys are doing in the AHL, whether they deserve or are ready for a look at the end of the season, whether that's a Zach Dean or an Alexander Kostomaki, a Dalibor Dvorsky, even a Colton Ellis or something, just to see how they look in the NHL and see what they are able to do on a short period of time without having the pressure of trying to save a season. I think right now, when you're still technically in it, you have 31 games left. If you bring up a prospect, you kind of put that pressure on them of trying to save the season that hasn't gone very well. And once you're further out of it and you lose that sort of pressure, maybe it puts the prospect in a different position, more pos a position to play free, to not have that pressure and to be in a spot to succeed even. So I think those are the things. And you know what? I'm honestly, it's kind of the white flag moment could be whenever they try Pavel Buchnevich at center again.
Oh.
It's happened each of the last 2 years when they're kind of fading out of playoff relevance. And obviously we know that it started this season that way, but that's kind of been for the last 2 years, that's been the traditional we're done moment. Not saying that Jim Montgomery wants to move him back, but that's just how it's gone recently.
And I think it's fair to say that Doug Armstrong is going to be taking a long look at guys that he hoped would be part of the answer going forward, but maybe now has some thoughts otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, that was a weird, not a weird thing, but a different thing that he said the other day that, we've changed through a lot of the coaches, obviously. We've changed through the support players. We've kind of nibbled around the edges of the roster, and waving Brandon Saad was chipping further and further up into the group that's been there a while. And he said, we're learning about, the good thing about the retool is that we're learning about different situations with our players, and do we have the correct assessments on them? So that seems to me that they're going to do a little bit of soul searching and figure out whether the players that they have are the right ones. And it's tough to look at their group right now and know who Doug Armstrong is talking about. It's just, there's been a handful of guys that have been here for quite some time. And as we mentioned, not all of them are easily movable at this point or easily walked away from. So I think it's a wide group that he can be looking at and trying to figure out what to do with them.
Well, that's Matthew DeFranks. I'm Jeff Gordon. This has been the NetFront Presence. A reminder that you can get all of our podcasts, all the extra video, all our extra content on our website at stltoday.com. If you're catching this on Spotify or one of your other podcast apps, appreciate you listening. Would really appreciate you continuing to support local journalism. So until next time, for Matthew, I'm Jeff. See ya.